seemed fitting, with tomorrow being Father's Day, to consider fathers, and most importantly, our God, our Father, God the Father. The title today of the message I'm bringing is, I called it, I'll Talk with God. When you think father, think dad. Get those words in your mind right now and just let your mind free associate for just a moment and think about, what do those words mean to you? What was he like? What is he like if he's still alive? What was your relationship with your father, with your dad? How would you describe him to others? What did he mean to you, or what didn't he mean to you? What comes to mind when you think of that word, father? What was or is your relationship with your physical father? Many people have different reactions to that word father. Some will have pleasant thoughts. They'll remember going fishing or boating or camping or sitting around in the living room listening to poems being read, favorite poems. Lots of happy times, enjoyment. Others, unfortunately, will have painful memories. They'll remember anger and fear, many bad memories hiding from the anger. Sure, some of us think dad and get upset, get angry. Some have memories of happiness and joy, bright times. Some, unfortunately, never knew their dad, never knew their father. Memories of fun, memories of fear and disgust, revulsion. I have four quotations written by children about their fathers. The first one says, quote, "My dad is a spiritual leader. He's been there when I've taken a fall. He's a great father. To me, he's the father any kid would want. He's a God-given gift to me. He's my dad." Another wrote this, "My dad still lives with us, but it seems as though he doesn't. He doesn't come to any of my games and shows little love for my mom. I think his job is more important to him than I am." A third child wrote, "I just want to thank my dad. Every time I've fallen, he's caught me. I love him very much. He taught me how to work hard, and most importantly, how to love God. He raised me to be a godly son, and I know that sometimes we fail, and sometimes we both don't do what's right, but I've always known he loves me no matter what." And finally, "Dad who? I've never seen my dad. Okay, I've seen him 3 times in my whole life. He left my mom when she was pregnant with me, and he's never been around. I don't even think I care to see him anymore." Maybe you can relate to one of these, hopefully, to the positives. These quotes really show us that fathers can bring tremendous joy or intense pain, and somewhere in between. So today we're going to look at our relationship with God the Father and how our relationship with our physical father can color that relationship, or how we shouldn't allow it to. I'd like to quote now from a sermon given by Randy Scriber entitled "Communications with Our Heavenly Father." One time in a theology class, the professor on the first day of class sent a survey out to all of his class, and the questionnaire asked what their perceptions of their physical fathers were. What was he like? What was your relationship with your physical father? And the surveys were collected, and no more was said about it through the whole semester. As this professor in the theology class talked through the year about God, about who he was, about what he did, about what God's thoughts were as well as he understood, about God's work, his attributes, his word, and then near the end of the course, the professor handed out another survey. This survey had very similar questions to the first one. The students had forgotten about the initial survey that was handed out and taken up and then never sent back again. This one had the students answer questions about what their perceptions of God were, about what their relationship with God is and how they perceive him to be. Again, the questions were approximately the same as on the first survey, but directed towards their Heavenly Father. When the professor turned those sets of surveys back to the students and they examined their responses, The students were fairly amazed to find that their answers about God and their perceptions of him were approximately the same as their answers about their fathers and their relationships to their physical fathers. So clearly we can see from this, and I end the quote there, that the way a person sees their parents can often color how they see God and how they relate to God. In order for there to be meaningful communication with God, we kind of need to know what kind of a father he is. What kind of father is God the Father? What kind of a relationship can we have with him? We need to understand versus misunderstanding who God is, what he's like, and this will affect every area of our life, including our spiritual growth. It's very significant that Jesus Christ came to the earth to reveal who God is and also what a good father is like. Turn to John 17. John 17 is one of the many times that Jesus Christ talks about the Father. John 17. And go to verse 25. John 17, 25. O righteous Father, indeed the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you have sent me. And then he continues here in 26, and I have made known to them your name and will make it known. So Jesus Christ's purpose, one of his purposes, was to reveal the Father. He wanted to reveal and illuminate who the Father is and what he was all about. We can have, he wanted to reveal actually that we could have a relationship with the Father like his, like Jesus Christ's own relation. As we continue, it says that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Our Heavenly Father wants a normal father relationship with us. And now we have to clarify what we mean by normal. Normal is not necessarily what we've experienced with our own earthly fathers or our own physical fathers. So we need to determine what that normal is. What is a normal father relationship? Because that is what God wants with us. It's interesting now, if we'll turn over to Luke chapter 11, the disciples asked a question. They asked a question of Christ. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. How do we talk to God, is what they were asking him. And what is prayer? What is it? When we're praying to God, what are we doing? Well, it's communication. So prayer is communicating with God the Father. And they asked him, how? How do we do this, in effect? Teach us to pray. Tell us how to talk to God. What should we do? And so in verse 2, he began to tell them, when you pray, say, Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. By implication, good communication means we need to have a clear concept of who God the Father is and that he is a good and loving Father. He wants to have a relationship with us as the supreme Father of the universe. He wants to know us. Now, this can be very good news to those of us who had a good relationship with our fathers. If you can relate your positive interactions with your dad to God and bring those into the relationship, that's great. That positive parent-child relationship can certainly tie into your better understanding of how to communicate and how to have that relationship with God, the Father. If you know how to, if your father was emotionally intimate with you, was able to talk about deep, dark things, and you felt comfortable and felt that trust, well, then you know you can go to God, the Father, and share those things with him as well. You can confide in him. You can trust him. You can have fun with them. You can transfer that positive relationship from, I call it little father, to the big father, to God the Father. Now the bad news is, some of us have also had bad relationships. And you can't necessarily, well, you don't want to transfer those feelings. Now Satan knows that. He's the one that's breaking up families. He's the one that drives wedges and causes mothers and fathers to be apart, for fathers to not care, to mistreat, to be selfish. And he wants to use that. And so is it any wonder that the family in society is under attack? So we get back to Jesus Christ coming to a darkened world that didn't know how to have a relationship with its father. And he came to illuminate that, to show us how to have a positive relationship. We need to not allow Satan to use those warped and twisted human relationships that have occurred to affect our relationship with God. We need to have the view of what a normal father should be. God the Father is that normal father. If we had a great relationship, again, build on that relationship. If we had a bad relationship, then go to the Father, God the Father, and ask him to basically reconfigure your mind so that we can have a great relationship with him. God is not the same as our physical fathers. He doesn't make mistakes. He is perfect, and he does always love us. I'd like to go through some father myths, if you will, some God the Father myths that are caused by physical fathers' failures. First one, God is unreasonable. God is unreasonable. You've probably heard that from some people. There's too many rules. There's no fun. All this law keeping, legalism, what's the point of that? That's just too hard. That's too hard. That's not fun. God's unreasonable. And isn't that a picture of Satan's mind? Another myth, God is unreliable. People hurt me. They did terrible things to me. Why did God allow that? I can't trust him. He didn't protect me. Why not? God's unreliable. Or how about this one? God is unconcerned. Well, sure, I believe there's a God, but he's too busy for me. The job's more important. Can you hear the relationship between the physical father and God the Father? The job's too important. The universe is too big. He doesn't need to pay attention to me. Or how about this one? God only likes certain people. You know, those ordained people, they got it going on with God, but he doesn't have time for me. Yeah. Bette Midler used to sing, God is watching me from a distance, a long distance. Sure, he's there and he's watching me, but he's not close. Or how about this one? God is unpleasable. No matter what, I can't please God. I can't live his ways. Why even try? Well, you know, if I got B's, I'm sure he'd want A's. So where did all these come from? Well, sorry, parents, you guys messed up. Have your kids told you that a few times? Well, it's true, we're not perfect individuals. I haven't had the privilege of being a father, but I had the privilege of having a physical father. And he was a pretty decent guy, as I recall. He had his challenges, his ups and downs. Didn't always understand what was going on in there, but he tried. Good job, Dad. But we take our weaknesses that our parents present to us, and we see God through them. So who's the real father? Let's break down those misconceptions, those misperceptions, that wrong understanding, and find out who God the Father is. Let's turn to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, and we'll get started. Ephesians 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. What was that again? Ephesians 1, 17. In the revelation in the knowledge of him. How interesting. It seems possible that God can illuminate our minds, that he can actually allow us to understand him better. He says so right here, that he can reveal, essentially, revelation, the knowledge of him. That our eyes can be enlightened and we can understand. God wants us to know him. He doesn't want to be a secret to us. He doesn't want to be a distant, faraway God that we can't approach, that we can't spend time with. And yeah, some of us will need help. We had bad dads. We'll need help to eliminate those misconceptions. Well, even the good fathers made mistakes once in a while. Did you ever do anything? Were you ever a kid and you knew you did something right and your dad yelled at you anyway because he didn't know all the facts? It happens. Okay. They all make mistakes. They're human. But God, the Father, won't make mistakes. He's the baseline that they were trying, hopefully, to live up to. And if not, it's the baseline they should have lived up to. So let's know the Father better, and we'll look at 3 points today. The first point we want to examine is just this, that understand that God our Father loves us and cares for us. God the Father loves us and cares for us. God's love for us is unconditional. He loves us. Doesn't mean he's always happy with the choices we make, and he wants us to make the right choices, but he loves us. Let's turn to Ephesians, continue over in Ephesians to chapter 3 now, just a page or two over, depending on how big your Bible is. Ephesians 3 and verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. As Paul was saying here, essentially, was help us to understand you. Pray to God that he could help us understand him. Help us with your Spirit to understand just who you are. Help us to fully comprehend just how wide and long and high and deep your love is for us. And this is a gift that God can give each and every one of us. Absolutely a gift, but we have to ask for it. And it might be hard, based on our experiences with those fathers, those physical fathers who messed up. It might be hard to do that. But if you have God's Holy Spirit and he's working with you, he can help you. Part of our communication with God has to be us asking him to help us fully comprehend him and the relationship that he wants with us, and to understand the concern he has for us. We do doubt sometimes. Some doubt more than others, and some have cause because of the experiences of their life. Let's look at one of the experiences that occurred to some of the disciples in Mark 4 and the doubts that they had, and just consider. Mark 4, verse 37. Mark 4, 37. And there arose a windstorm, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was now full. And he, that is Jesus Christ, was in the stern of the boat asleep on a headrest. And they wakened him and said, Master, do you not care that we are dying? Do you not care that we perish? I mean, let's consider this. They have the Son of God there with them. They have this amazing person who is God with them. And they think, hey, we're going to die. And all they need to do is ask, don't you care? And sometimes we think, God, don't you care what I'm going through? Don't you care about this trauma, this spiritual trauma I'm going through? How about this relationship I'm having with my mate? Don't you care? What about this difficulty at the job place that I'm having? What about my health problems? Why don't you care? Well, how much does God care? Let's take another, let's look into Isaiah. Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63 and turn to 16. Doubtless you are our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us and Israel acknowledge us not. You, O Lord, are our father, our redeemer. Your name is from everlasting. The Living Bible puts it probably in a better understanding for us in Isaiah 63. And he said, the Living Bible puts it this way. He says, surely you are still our father. Even if Abraham and Jacob were to disown us, still you would be our father, our redeemer from ages past. So do you catch that? So basically, no matter what the father, whatever our physical father situation is, whether it's Abraham, Jacob, or Bob, or Mike, or, you know, if they turned their back on us, God would still be there for us and is still there for us. He won't abandon us. Even if our parents disowned us, God is still the Father and still our Father. If we come to God, he's not going to abandon us. 2 Timothy 2, verse 13, states it this way. Even if we are faithless, he remains faithful and cannot disown himself. Now, there's an interesting statement. He can't disown himself. What does that mean? Well, if you consider that the Holy Spirit makes his son spiritually. In effect, we are of his flesh because we have his Holy Spirit present within us. And so what he's saying is that, well, he can't turn his back on himself. We are his flesh. He won't turn his back on us. Let's look at Luke chapter 11. Turn over to Luke 11. And we'll read verses 11 through 13. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he'll ask for an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? God wants to have a relationship with us, and we just have to want it. And he'll give us what is best for us. We're so important to God that he even knows the hairs on our head. You know, he knows every sparrow that falls out of the sky. It says that in Matthew 10, 29 through 31. But it also says in there that he knows every hair on our heads. He's actually concerned with the intimate details of our lives. And we are more important than a whole flock of birds, or a whole lot more than a flock of birds, every bird on the earth. He is interested in us. He wants to have a relationship with us. We need to just reach out to him. And he cares. Galatians 3. Let's turn to Galatians 3. In Galatians 3, Christ said, I came to reveal the Father and to keep on revealing him to you. And it wasn't just through the words that he said, but also through the words that he inspired the apostles to write down for us. He kept on revealing it because it is so important to our spiritual growth and to our relationship with God. Galatians 3, and let's turn to verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We are literally his sons, his children, his daughters, his sons. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been, as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. He wants that relationship with us as sons and daughters. He wants us to turn to him like we would to a daddy. He wants us to bring our concerns and cares to Him and to let Him help us. Galatians 4, 6, just a short way over, Galatians 4, 6 says, "And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." And that word Abba is not the rock group, but Abba could be translated exactly that, daddy. That sweet little thing, voice that the baby first says, you know, the mama, the daddy, dada. It's that intimate, it's that warm, it's that much of a connection that God wants to have with us. He wants us to feel so connected to Him that we will just be real with Him. You know, the these and the thous that we find in the Bible, sometimes those aren't the words we really use, are they? Sometimes we feel like we have to use this thing as a guide for speaking to God, and we do need to, but not in the way that where we pull the words out and use them in a fake way to communicate with God. Just pour your heart out to Him. Just tell Him what you're thinking. You know, here's the problem. I don't know how to deal with this. I'm overloaded, and I need your help, God. Please, Daddy, help me out here. What should I do? I know you care about me. I know you want the best for me. What do I need to learn? How can I push my way past this challenge? So that first point, again, is that God loves us and cares for us. Secondly, the Father wants us to grow, and He helps us to grow. Anybody here learned to ride a bike when you were a kid and Dad was the one that ran along behind you holding the seat? I remember him doing that for me. The first time I was on that bike and he was holding onto it, I felt so disappointed in him when he let go of that seat. Even though I had training wheels and I was perfectly safe, it was just, Dad let go of me? Oh no! You know, it's part of the process though. You can't really learn to ride the bike until you're on your own. And it's that way with our spiritual life and this life. In making the choices, sometimes we have to make the choices. We go to Him, we need to ask for the help. And then if we do it wrong, we're going to have to take our lumps. You know, if the bike falls over because we took the wheels off too soon, you know, He didn't want us to get hurt. And your parents, they couldn't do your homework for you when you were in school, could they? Well, what would you have learned if they'd done it for you? You had to slug your way through that stuff. You had to figure out the X's and the Y's and the Z's. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, verse 5 and 6. "And you've forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as to children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourge every son whom He receives." Sometimes the discipline has to be there. If it isn't, then God doesn't love us. You ever find yourself going through a period of time where, wow, things have been pretty easy? Time to get worried. Is God not paying attention? Have I turned away? Have I gotten too far from Him that He's not correcting me anymore? So the correction and the discipline are good. They help us to grow. They help us to become grown-ups in His way and who He is. If we continue in verse 7, "And if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you're illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live?" And I'm not talking about physical life. That word, that's eternal life. God's discipline has eternal results. It's eternal life. "For they truly for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness." You know, if you're having difficulty with God's chastening, ask Him to help us. God, help me appreciate Your correction. Better Your wounds, great God, than eternal death. Turn over to Romans 8, where Paul again describes a relationship with God. Romans 8. And verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And drop down to 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We are a part of God's plan. We are his sons. We are part of his great family. And he knows that, and he's walking us through this process so we can be useful. No parent wants to keep his child in a bubble of protection. God allows us to suffer a certain amount for our own growth, for our own good, and for the kingdom of God. The third point is God is a father who comforts and is always there. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 1. Second Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. You ever have that kid in school when you were growing up that said, hey, you know, he had a fight with you or he was upset with you or said, my dad could beat up your dad? Well, sure, but so could my mother. You know, there are always going to be times, I think a good father realizes that there are times that he has to back off from his kids. He has to let them choose their own path through things. And when we have that kid on the playground that says, you know, my dad can beat up your dad, and you run home to daddy and you say, come on, dad, you got to come down, you got to take care of this problem for me. Well, did you do it the right way? Did you say the right thing? Well, maybe, I don't know. You know, sometimes God knows he has to back off from those situations. But how many times did you become aware of some time in your later life when you knew there was a wrong, that somebody had wronged you in some way, and you stayed quiet about it? Maybe you said something to mom or dad, and then the problem just sort of resolved itself? Well, it happened. It happens from time to time. That the dads will go out and they'll go quietly and take care of and talk to somebody and take care of the situation for you, and suddenly the problem's gone. Well, God is a father like that. He's not always going to jump when we ask him to jump. He's not always going to run down to the playground and beat up the other kid's dad. He's just not going to do it because he's already won the battle in reality, and the other dad is Satan. He's already beat him. But when we're under the gun, when we're being challenged and it's a little too much for us, if we go to him and tell him, hey, Dad, this is really tough, we might be surprised to find out that the situation eases up, resolves itself in some way. God is there, but he lets us grow up and doesn't overprotect us. But he will comfort us. And in Psalm 68, it says this about God, that he's a father of the fatherless, a defender of the widows. He's looking after us. Even if we don't have our physical fathers or our physical fathers let us down in some way, he is there for us. And he wants to provide for us, as it says in Matthew 6. Let's turn to Matthew 6. Verse 31. We'll start there in Matthew 6, verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we be clothed with? For all these things do the Gentiles seek after. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. He will provide for us. But we have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Another quote from the sermon, Communication with Our Heavenly Father. God can handle any problem that you can throw to him. Nothing is beyond his ability. Nothing is beyond his resources. God is not a Homer Simpson or an Al Bundy or some of the other inept parents that you find on TV. It's like, again, two kids at school bragging on the schoolyard, and one of them says, "My dad can beat your dad." And the other kid says, "Big deal, so can my mom." Actually, I had that happen to me. Well, I know about it anyway. I'll tell you that sometime. Sorry, Mom. That's the way dads are sometimes, you know, just not competent. Nobody can beat up your Heavenly Father. Nobody. Satan tries. Satan wants to do everything he can to subvert that relationship between you and your Heavenly Father. But God is bigger than that. To bring this to conclusion, let's begin by turning to Acts 17. Acts chapter 17. And we'll turn to verse 27, where it says, "That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us." You know, God wants a relationship with everyone. He wants all of us to reach out to him. He created this incredible planet, this incredible world. He provided all of this for us so that we could be a part of his family, so that we could have a relationship with him. And that's what God wants. He wants sons. As it says in verse 28, "For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." We're his sons. In 2 Corinthians, I'll just refer to it, chapter 6, verse 17, it says, "Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch what's unclean, and I will receive you." You know, just do the right thing. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then, as it says and concludes in verse 18, "I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty."